Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Everybody say,
glory.
We sing
glory, glory to the Lamb.
We give all glory,
glory
to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
Yes. We sing
glory,
glory to the
to
Lamb.
The Lamb.
This is why. For he is
now
and amazed
forever.
Forever is he. And he will reign
forever.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy
is he.
Is he.
So together let's sing glory,
glory
to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
Father, we sing tonight glory.
Glory,
glory to the Lamb. Jesus is his name, we give
glory,
glory to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
For he is
now,
he's the beginning, and he is the end.
Forever
he remains, and he will reign forever with all power and authority.
and marvelous are your deeds. Just and true are your words, Lord God Almighty. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? You alone are holy, and all nations will come and worship before you. Saints and angels sing. The saints and angels sing. Glory to the Lamb. We sing glory to the Lamb. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just one more time. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle. Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. transmitting from Blog Talk Radio this evening, this Sunday. And we're dealing with the Bible mysteries. There are things written in the Bible. And when you look at them carefully, you have to ask yourself the question, where did this come from? You know? To some people, it looks like a mystery. To others, they say that the Bible contradicts itself. But when you study the Bible carefully, the Bible does not contradict itself. Isaiah did say, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And that's where we study the Word of God. The Word of God pronounces itself. It describes itself. And it gives us the answers that we're looking for. Glory to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Jesus, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that you gather us together to study this mystery. Lord, we would like a revelation of what the scripture says to us and how we could take it in and not sin against you. We ask you to look upon our families, those that are not saved, and we ask that you reach unto them by your Holy Spirit and draw them to salvation, Lord God. We ask that you look upon those that are working behind the scenes, those workers at Block Talk Radio. We don't hear them, we don't see them, but we know they're there. And we want to thank you, Lord God. You protect the family and protect them from every harm and danger, Lord. Surround them with your holy angels. Hedge them about, O Father God, as they offer up the service unto you, O Father God, and they make it available for us to come forward and share the word. So, Father God, thank you for your word. We know that everything, heaven and earth, will pass away, but your word will remain forever. So, Lord God, we want to thank you. We want to glorify you, Lord God, and I pray that my brothers and sisters will take it in and they get a revelation and hopefully they come with the right answer. Glory be to the Lord. Once again, this is Pastor Carlos Ramos. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to speak with the host. After the mystery is pronounced, if you come up with the right answer, the church will mail you out a free gift. It's a small booklet, paperback. It's called Generosity. It's very interesting, from Gordon McDonald. And we want to thank the Lord for that, to make this provision available. Okay. Don't forget that on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m., we have our prayer service. We ask you invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us. And if you have time to call them for tonight's program, please do so. We also have Thursdays at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio, the same number and the same time. On Thursdays, we have our Bible study. Glory be to the Lord. We study on the subject is Christianity real. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. This program does not replace your study of the Bible. It does not replace your attendance at the church. I strongly advise you to attend church, support your pastor, support the church, support the ministry, and most importantly of all, be obedient unto Jesus Christ. He says in his word, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We have an immediate expectation of his soon return for the church, and so the church have to be ready. Glory be to God. We see everything that's happening around the world, and if we could just tell the signs of the times, and we see the signs of the time, he says, just like the time of Noah, glory be to God. So if you look around you, everything appears to be like the time of Noah. We have to get into that ark. That ark is Jesus. Glory be, hallelujah. The cry is out there. The church is crying. The church is giving everything that it can so people could be saved and be drawn into the ark of the covenant. Glory be to. Look what happened in Noah's time. It was incredible how the animals were obedient to the call of God and they came into the ark. Glory be. But people were rejecting the call. They were rejecting the call until the floods came about them. Then they wouldn't come in. It was too late. You have to come in now. You have to come in now. The opportunity is now for you to be saved, for you to be born again, for you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, for you to receive the Holy Spirit without a tongue. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The true church of God will be lifted up. The true church of God will be lifted up in the rapture. So a lot of people don't believe in the rapture. but a good study in the Word of God, you're going to come away realizing the Word of God does talk about a pre-tribulation rapture. Those that are saying that there's no pre-tribulation rapture, they'll be left behind to deal with the kingdom of the Antichrist. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So the mystery today is, where did Jesus get his clothes? Now, you might think this is elementary, but you know, to some people, this is hard. Where did Jesus get his clothes? Well, let us set everything up before we continue. First, I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, and we'll see what the Word of God says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord hosts will perform this. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. If you remember from the Psalms and from the book of Hebrews and from the Gospels, you remember that God told Jesus that he was going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not of the Levitical priesthood, not of the Aaronic priesthood, but he said after Melchizedek. Who was Melchizedek? Well, if you look back in history and you look back in your Bible and the study books, you're going to realize Melchizedek was a king of peace, king of righteousness. And he met Abraham after Abraham defeated the five kings, and he rescued Lot from the hands. And he gave Abraham some bread and some wine. Abraham gave him a tenth of all the spoils. Everything that he got from the war, he gave 10% to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek blessed him. Glory be to the Lord. And God promised, because of Melchizedek's obedience and being a high priest, he was a priest and a king of Israel. God promised that his son, Jesus Christ, will be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. If you look at the history of Jesus Christ, you're going to see that he filled the three offices, priest, king, and prophet. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go over to Matthew chapter 28. And see what the scripture says. Let us go and see what happened prior to the giving of the clothing. We see Jesus Christ. He entered into his ministry after he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. If you remember clearly, John the Baptist, when he was baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan, glory to the Lord, he had Jesus go into the river. And Jesus submerged himself into the river. John the Baptist did not sprinkle him with water, Jesus Christ was submerged in the water. And we know from the Gospel of John that John the Baptist said, "He that sent me told me, whom you see the Holy Ghost descending upon him as a dove, he is the one." Glory, glory, glory. He is the one. When you look back at the book of Exodus, when Moses was building the tabernacle, he had to do certain things with his brother Aaron, his sons, in order for them to be accepted. He had to wash them and the clothing. He had to wash them in the water. He washed them. He had to anoint them with the oil. And he had to announce to the people that Aaron and his sons will be the leaders, the Kohanim, the priests, so they could serve as God under the priesthood. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, God, for everything that he's doing, that you're doing, mighty God. If we go to Matthew chapter 28, and we go to verse 2, we're going to see something beautiful that had occurred. But what happened, Jesus was baptized in the river. He went out to the ministry, and he began to heal people and deliver people from demonic possession. The blind was now seeing. The deaf mute were now talking. The dead was being raised from the dead. And the gospel was preached to the Gentiles or to the poor people. That's Isaiah 61. And Jesus went about doing good. Everywhere he went, he preached about the kingdom of God. And he healed everyone who came to him. Even everyone who came and just touched the hem of his garment, they were healed, just like the lady with the issue of blood. Glory, glory, glory. And because he went against the current of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they decided to get rid of him. But they needed someone in the inner circle or the circle of Jesus to bring him forward so he could be accused. And we know that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus Christ was taken to the high priest, and they looked over him, and they sent him to Herod. Herod couldn't find anything wrong with him. Finally, they went to Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate had him scourged. They hit him in the back. 40 minus 1 stripes. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Then they had him carry the crossbeam all the way up to Calvary, outside the city walls. There, Jesus Christ laid himself upon the cross, and they nailed his hands at the wrist level, both hands at the wrist level. They nailed it to the beam. They nailed the feet to the beam. At one time, they had hit him in the head on the crown of thorns upon his head. At one time, they put vinegar and hyssop the sponge that when he said he was thirsty, they put it to his mouth. Now just imagine that you had chopped lips and they give you vinegar. That would hurt. When they came to Jesus, they realized Jesus had given his spirit up to his Father. The other factors, or the other people that were hung with him, they had their legs broken. They had the knees area where the body would fall down now and they would choke to death. But when they came to Jesus, they realized he was already dead. So what they did, they stabbed him with a spear. And when they did that, out came out blood and water, meaning that the body had already died. He died from a heart failure. Then they took him off the cross, and they buried him in a brand new sepulcher where nobody ever laid before. Joseph of Arimathea, who might have been a Pharisee also, gave his sepulcher to Jesus Christ. He was buried in that sepulcher. He died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He was taken off the cross before 6 p.m., before the sunset, because the high holy feast, the Unleavened Bread Feast, was about to begin at the sunset. And they could not let a dead body hung on the cross. So we see where the scripture says, those that are hung are cursed. So he became a curse for us. He took upon him our sins, and he shed his precious blood for our sins. And they put him into the sepulcher. And the soldiers sealed up the sepulcher. They put wax all around the boulder, the rock that was in front of the hole there. They seal it. They put this seal, signifying that Rome was greater, signifying that Rome had the victory. And the person inside was dead. So I want to thank the Lord for that, because something happened, and we're going to find out what happened. Don't forget the question, where did Jesus get his clothes from? Let me read some scriptures. We find it in Matthew chapter 28, beginning at the first verse. And the Word of God says the following. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and another Mary to see the sepulchre. Now we know that this is the second Sabbath, because the first high holy Sabbath was that Wednesday night, or beginning Thursday, it was the unleavened bread. Nisan 14, when Jesus died, is the day called Passover. He was a Passover lamb. He was buried in unleavened. That feast had to go on. But they had to do preparations on that Thursday because they had the regular Sabbath, Friday to Saturday. So here in this verse, Matthew writes, in the end of the Sabbath. So we see that the end of the Sabbath would have been Saturday night before sunset. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And I'll give you a little side note. I visited the sepulchre in Jerusalem with my wife in 2016. And there is a second sepulchre that they have pointed out. And on the door, there's a sign that says, He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord laid, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So the angel came with a message. And the angel provided that message to the people because they needed to hear that message before they needed to celebrate. Glory, glory to the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. So we see there was a great earthquake. And we see the angel of the Lord who descended from heaven. He had a conversation with Mary Magdalene and the other woman. If you follow with me to Exodus chapter 28, we're going to see an interesting disclosure here, which is going to be beautiful. Chapter 28, beginning at verse 14. Correction. At 41. Chapter 28, verse 41. This is what God tells Moses. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So we see how the Lord spoke to Moses, that he had to dress his, he had to wash his brothers, he had to put on the garments, he had to anoint them, consecrate them, sanctify them, and prepare them for the ministry unto the Lord. And you know, a lot of people, when studying, they search the scriptures, but they don't search it good enough. If you remember when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he couldn't even open up his sandals. That's how pure Jesus Christ was. And he told Jesus, I need to be baptized of you. But Jesus said, let it be done this way so we could fulfill all scripture. And what Jesus wanted to do was to show that, you know, God was in control. So John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. The Word of God tells us, as he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came down, descended upon him. The voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And you remember what Moses did with his brothers. It's the very same thing that happened to Jesus. Jesus Christ was washed in the River Jordan. Jesus Christ was anointed. When the Holy Spirit descended down upon him, he was anointed. The Word of God says when he went to the wilderness, He was full of the anointed. Glory be to the Lord. And then we hear the voice of the Father say, this is my beloved Son. An announcement. Glory, glory be to the Lord. Because John the Baptist was saying, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And sure enough, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You can call us at 516-418-5944 here on Blog Talk Radio. Press number 1 to speak with the host. If you have the answer to the mystery, the Bible mystery, where did Jesus get his clothes from? If you get the right answer, the church, the way, the truth, and the life tabernacle will mail you out a beautiful cover book. Is called Generosity. Glory, from Gordon MacDonald. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So the announcement was there. The anointing was there. The preparations was there. So we see here a revelation that God has given to us. The revelation is that with everything that Jesus went through here into River Jordan, with John the Baptist, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, is when Jesus became the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. No longer the Levitical priesthood or the Aaronic priesthood, but under the order of Melchizedek. You and I who are born again Christians have been made priests as unto Melchizedek. In the book of Revelation, it says that God has made us priests unto himself. So we want to praise God for that. And that's why we want to live holy and righteous so we could glorify God our Father. And in Jesus Christ, is what we do. So in Exodus 28:41, it talks about, so they can minister to me in the priest's office. Now remember the priest's office, remember what the Levitical and Aaron priests had to do once a year? They had to offer up a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. They had to kill the lamb, a young lamb of the first year, in order for their sins to be covered for a year. But then they will come and do it every time. But Jesus Christ offered himself without sin. And his shedding of the blood brought forth the redemption, the sanctification, the justification that we needed. And it happened once and for all. Jesus doesn't have to die every year like the animal sacrifice. And that's why God changed the priesthood order. From the Levitical to the and the Aaronic to the Melchizedek, because he's a priest, he's a king of righteousness. If you read Revelation, it talks about Jesus Christ coming, and on his thigh there's a writing, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King of righteousness. He is the great high priest. Glory be to the Lord. So we're going to read Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at 14 through Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10. And let's see how these scriptures applied and how they come together with the other two. Hebrews chapter 4. 14 through 5:10. And the word of God says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that it passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. And that's what happened with the Levitical priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood. They were taken from among men. If you studied the Jewish law, every young man from the age of 20 up could join the military or service in the priesthood. Who can have compassion on the ignorant, and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereafter he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also glorify not himself, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And as he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, for he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Call of God, a high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have a need of milk and not of strong meat. Glory be to the Lord. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Call of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that's what happened to Jesus. He was called of God to do something. But the problem was that when they buried Jesus, if you read the scriptures, his body was wrapped in linen clothes, and there was a napkin put over his face. He had not clothes carry on the work of a high priest. Something happened. So the question is, where did Jesus get his clothes? Where did Jesus get his clothes? think about Moses and Aaron and his sons. It was Moses who dressed Aaron and his sons, putting on the clothes they needed to be ready to minister to God in the priest's office. And as you know, there's different garments that the priests use. They use certain garments in the holy place, and they use a different garment in the Holy of Holies. So when that occurred, they were presented to the nation as the priests to service God in the ministry of the priest's office. So who or where did Jesus get his clothes from? Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Where did Jesus get his clothes from? That's the question that we have today. We have to answer. If I don't get the answer, then what's going to happen is we're just going to hold on to this for another time. And I would encourage everyone to study the scriptures, and I urge you to seek out God for the answers that you need. You and I, Paul said in the book of Corinthians, our life is like an open book. People are reading us every day. So we have to be dressed appropriately. Because remember, when Jesus talked about doing the right thing, being obedient, he said you don't want to be like being naked, found without clothes. It's like a watchman up on the hill watching for the enemy, but he falls asleep. They take his rank off. They take his clothing off. And he's naked before the people. And that's what happens, brothers and sisters. When you and I are not in Christ, we are naked before God and before everyone. Our sin will find us out because we don't have nothing to cover it. We don't have nothing to show for. We don't have nothing to take it away. Only the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary is issue for redemption, the ransom of our sin. Everything you do is earned wages. Look at Romans 5:6-23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus. So you're working for are you working for wages that leads you to sin and death? Or are you working and putting your substance in heaven, putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Where did Jesus get his clothes from? It's a mystery that when you get the answer and you study it, it gives you so much revelation. Just think about it. Let's say you're a doctor, and you know most of the time when a doctor's in the hospital, he wears a long white coat. And people look and says, you know, the doctor here and doctor there, they're given the respect. Nurses have uniforms that they wear, and people give them the respect of being the nurse. And so it is. Where look at the police officer. He's got a uniform. Look at the firemen, they have a uniform. And when you look at these uniforms, you know who you're dealing with. Look at the EMTs and paramedics. They have a uniform. They have equipment. Look at the baseball players. They have a uniform. Look at the football players. They have a uniform. So Aaron and the Aaronic priesthood and the Levitical priesthood, they wore these garments so they could serve God in the office of the priests. And Jesus transitioned to the office of Melchizedek. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. But where did he get his clothes from? Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Think about it. Where did Jesus get his clothes from? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Out to him. afflictions to him this morning. Place your hand on that point in your body that is ailing.
Lord, be with you.
Command his life in this room to come into that area.
Location
take authority over that thing which does not belong in
you. And unto that, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.
Wholeness in this room today. I declare wholeness in this room today. Wholeness in your mind. I take authority over depression in the name of Jesus.